Beloved of Christ, grace and peace, grace and peace. Amen. So this Sunday, we're back to two services. Fall is here. The choir has warmed up. Amen. Thank you for being here. Very fun. And next week, we'll have Sunday school and youth group and Sunday forum. But today, with congregations all across the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, we celebrate what Nick has already talked about, God's work, our hands. So, take a look at your hands. I'm serious. Take a look at your hands. You got them. Take a look at your hands and think back over, 24 hours, the last day. I could pick any number, but think about your hands. What have you done with your hands over that period of time? Perhaps you've been studying hard, honing your skills. Maybe you wiped away some tears, or you created art, or you made music. Maybe it's cooking or cleaning or washing or yard work. Maybe you pulled someone close in protection, or you cared for somebody's body or your own body. Perhaps you lifted your hands in prayer, or you maneuvered a bike or a car or threw a football. Maybe you gave a high five or opened your wallet to write a check or to swipe a card, perhaps to help somebody in need. Or did you hug? Or did you hold? Or did you light a candle? Or did you type a note or write a note or pick up the phone and simply reach out? Dear friends, it's God's work. It's God's work, but it's our hands that God uses to do this work. It's our hands. And today in our congregation, just a little bit ago, we did a mini community organizing training. We're practicing using our relationships, our power, our hands to do God's work of co-creating justice and love for this world. You know, these last weeks, I have been thinking about the little village of Le Chabon in south central France. Maybe some of you know the story of that village. During World War II, as Hitler's power rose after France had fallen to the Germans, this community sheltered hundreds, perhaps even thousands, of Jewish folks. They were targeted by the Nazi regime. In some cases, they were helped to flee over the border. They were helped to flee over the border to neutral Switzerland, but in other cases, in many of the cases, they simply were sheltered in people's homes all across the countryside. Rooted in their Christian, Protestant, Reformed, nonviolent Huguenot tradition, through their form of community organizing, the people of Le Chabon took this tremendous risk of aiding the Jewish community, or quietly letting the aiding happen, simply because it was the right thing to do. I can only begin to consider the complexity of that situation. The world in that moment, the community in discernment, the call of their faith and their tradition, the need of their neighbors. In writing about them, the researchers have over and over asked that question, why? Why did you do this as a community? And one woman responded, look, who else would have taken care of them if we didn't? Who else would have taken care of them if we didn't? They needed our help, and they needed it then. God's work, our hands. God's work, our hands. Our gospel reading this morning includes two stories, and they're laced together. Jesus is on the move. Maybe he's seeking out some rest. We don't really know, but very quickly he is found when all of a sudden a mother is at his side, daring to plead for the health of her little child. We've often read this awkward story as a test of this desperate woman's faith. That's the way it was taught over the years. The tradition has tried mightily to gloss over the derogatory way that Jesus seems to at once brush off her need and then call or compare her to a dog. The clues are sparse, but scholars remind us that this area, the areas around Tyre and Sidon, many in the Jewish community in that area were peasants. They worked the land. They didn't own it. They worked it. We also learn that the Gentiles in that area owned the land. This woman, we know, was a Gentile, so maybe, perhaps, she was powerful and she was wealthy. We don't know for sure. Seems to me, though, that this gospel interaction between Jesus and this woman is a lot more complex than we have traditionally understood. A lot more complex. There are issues of religion, but also ethnicity and race and prejudice, land ownership or not, and power, economics and gender, compassion fatigue. They all are at play in today's story. Dear ones, God's power is at work in the messy and the complex. That's where God works, in the messy times, in the complex times, in all those dynamics that are going back and forth right there. And at first glance, I'm not convinced that Jesus wants to hear this woman's pain. It's a tough story to hear. Goodness knows, listening well and hearing pain and acknowledging need, this all takes its toll, even on Jesus. But she perseveres. She perseveres. She pleads, and the Spirit moves. And Jesus, it seems, changes his mind. He learns. He changes in that very situation. In the verses that follow, in the story of the man who could not hear, Jesus sighs, and then he cries out, "Ephphatha, be opened. Be opened." So if you lace those stories together, the first story, maybe it's Jesus who is being opened. Maybe it's Jesus who is being opened, opened across the lines of tribe and gender and religion, open to listening closely and hearing the pain and the need that is around him. Maybe that's the story of this day, that Jesus is opened, that Jesus is changed. Talk about Jesus changing his mind. It challenges some folks. We've learned it different ways. I acknowledge that. For others, it's a relief, for if Jesus can learn and grow, then so can we. This morning we welcome Amanda Vetch into our community. Amanda, where are you right now? Right back there, she's waving. Amanda is our coach through the Riverside Innovation Hub. She'll be with us part-time through this coming year. This summer, some of you heard about this, we received a grant that over 3 years will support deep listening and some healthy exploration, experimentation, and then some adaptation of what we learn from our experiments, all focused around ministry with young adults. Nick Tangen takes the lead from our staff. An innovation team has formed and will be commissioned a little later in this service. The team includes Abby Lucas and Erica Larson and Will Heller and Kirsten Meebust and Doug Hartman. So this week at a meeting with Amanda, she was describing her coaching work at this very early stage, and she said it like this. Her work is hanging out and listening and helping us to be more intentional about our listening as a community. So with that Syrophoenician woman and the man who is deaf, Jesus embodies, he models an openness to listen and to learn and to change. He uses simple stuff, spit and a little bit of earwax, but most of all, he uses his own willingness to let his heart be open. That's what he does. That's a comfort, for in our own moments of stretching and learning, we don't need to feel ashamed. Jesus has gone before us. He shows us how to be opened in this way. Indeed, that's part of the calling, the heart of what it means to be Christ's very body. We die to sin. We die to our own rough edges. We die to our own been there, done that, preconceived ideas. And in Christ, we rise again to new life, new learning, new courage, new risks, a new willingness to put our very bodies on the line, even or especially in the complexity of our world right now. We've experienced this in powerful ways. Nick mentioned this too. We are on the same wavelength today, Nick. I don't know. I was thinking, though, about the sanctuary movement. That's one way that I felt it happening in this congregation. We're opening ourselves to the honest stories of immigrants, opening ourselves to our own power and sometimes what feels like our lack of power against this broken immigration system. And through that listening, that openness, we're being changed. I am convinced this congregation is being changed and transformed through this process of sanctuary. I believe we've also felt this new life as we've spent time outside this summer. We spent a lot of time outside this summer. We worshiped outside on the lawn and on the patio. There's been gardening and then more gardening and more gardening and supporting the farmers market and constructing the bread oven. People spent days outside by the bread oven and then hanging out now that it's complete and making pizza, a lot of pizza. And in that making pizza, listening well. Have you noticed the way that students, that neighbors are lingering around the bread oven? Watch how that happens. They are. And that's good, and it's conducive to listening, and listening well, and listening deeply, and in turn, being changed, being changed. Le Chabon, the small French village of resistance, of sanctuary, years later, Meg de Trompke, the wife of the pastor who had been so involved, she said in reflection, "In the end, I would like to say to people, remember that in your life, there will be lots of circumstances where you will need a kind of courage. A kind of courage, a kind of decision on your own, not about other people, but about yourself. A courage about yourself." Dear friends, it's God's work. It's God's work, and it's our hands. It's our courage, it's our time, it's our calling. Remember who we are, and even more, remember whose we are. For this life in Christ has the power to open us up, and we will not be the same. And that's good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.